I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Back in on the drive. Thanks so much for listening on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the radio.com app. Do us a favor. The old text line number, it's out of here. The new phone line number is the same as the call number, 913-576-7610. If you want to text in and interact with the show, the best way to do so is at 913-576-7610. Coming up in about 30 minutes, we'll go through which league has the best plan for reentry and starting their regular season. We'll also take a trip inside the mind of the machine. I think I have found a way for us to talk about Tom Brady and Derek Jeter in the same segment that is not going to annoy people. So Derek Jeter, who is obviously hard up for cash here, is auctioning off one of his cars. So he is going to auction off his 2018 stretch Cadillac SUV for $300,000 or best offer. I want to know from you guys, what's the thing you would most like to bring back from the 2000s? Because we talk a lot about the 90s and what you would like to bring back, but we're more 2000s babies. We were teenagers at that time. We were going into college in the 2000s. That was a great time. I do miss the time where people had Cadillacs and Hummers. You remember, no one cared about fuel efficiency. No one cared about how small your car was going to be. You remember that we used to really make it seem like athletes that had these $30,000 cars were the richest people in the world. You remember when LeBron James had a Hummer and we thought that was the coolest thing in the world? All of us could have had a Hummer, but it was something special back in 2000 about when people had a Hummer or these big Escalades or the, remember, I think it was the Denali, those big cars. We didn't have these little smart cars. Nobody wanted a Kia. Nobody wanted a Fiat. Nobody wanted a PT Cruiser during those. You wanted the big boys. I want to get back to that time in American society where to hell with fuel efficiency, give me an Escalade.
Well, in the 90s, I'm trying to think, that's when I would have got my first car, and it was a 1994 Toyota Tercel, so I didn't mess with any of that stuff that you're talking about. Some of the boys had the Denalis and the Hummers and all that stuff. Nah, not me. I wasn't quite in that tax bracket. There are a lot of things, though, because you're basically talking about my prime. Like, if you're talking about that era, I would say the things that I miss the most, mostly, I think back to clothing. I think back to, what do you know about Stussy? You ever wear a Stussy shirt, C-Dot?
I did not wear Stussy.
What about Massimo? That mean anything to you?
They're still at Target. You can go get some Massimo right now.
Get the hell out of here. You can't Massimo.
Right at Target.
No, okay. What do you know about Hypercolor?
I mean, you can't really get it
that
for the
That might have been the 80s.
I mean, you could have got it for free at the one in Minnesota earlier today, but right now you got to go buy it from the one next door.
Yo, you know what I really miss when it comes to fashion from that era? Did you used to wear those jeans? I think they sold them mostly from Old Navy that for some reason had a little spot to hold your hammer. Like, we were all painters back in the 1990s. Remember what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, I was black as a kid, so I really wasn't I wasn't really wearing the hammer pants, and I'm not talking about the nice bubble one. So I was never wearing the jeans had the little hammer pocket. I never had the little chain to your wallet. You know how people had?
Oh,
that
yeah.
Wasn't really my thing. I will say this, though, in the same line, and maybe you were part of this.
Damn, you're right. I wore hammer pants in the 80s and the 90s. I wore MC hammer pants in the 80s, and then I wore Old Navy hammer pants. What the hell's wrong with me?
I remember the time, and Rob, I don't think you were in this either. You remember when you could walk into Foot Locker and you could get 5 t-shirts for $20 and that was considered dressing up?
Mm-hmm.
You could wear a flat, that's when you was a king.
Oh,
you could wear a flat billed hat. You could wear some sneakers and you could wear a plain white t-shirt, and that was date ready. That was school ready. You could wear that white t-shirt was all purposed from 05 to 07. Why can't we get back to that? Where I can go into the store, I can get 5 plain white t-shirts for $20 and I could be all purpose for anything I need to do. That's what we need to bring back from the 2000s. White tees.
I also appreciated back when the white tees, when you could just hang in your white tee and bang in your white and all that stuff. There was also a little bit of room in your jeans, at least for me. I feel like jeans more recently have gotten much, much tighter. And this isn't just a woman thing or a man thing. It's an everybody thing. And I've always felt that certain areas of the body, if you know what I mean, need a little bit of breathing room, if you will. So I'm not... Are you a skinny jeans guy? I know you're a jean shorts guy, which is ridiculous. Are you a skinny jeans guy?
I've got a couple of them. I mean, I don't wear them the ultra tight the way you are.
How is that comfortable? How is that... that's not for me. I feel like that's one step up from biker shorts, essentially.
Yeah, I don't really mind them now. I mean, there's all degrees of it, and you could certainly get your skinny jeans a little bit bigger to give yourself room in necessary areas.
Yeah, that's what I
need. So I'm not about getting the ultra tight when I do need a little bit of room to breathe, but I get what you're saying. It's not really my thing all the way either.
Yeah, and there's certain fads that probably should have gone away, and then there's ones that I would actually be cool if they came back. I mean, I think you could argue that as far as, say, music goes, that was the golden era. Like, we're talking about the... Am I wrong? You think I'm wrong?
The 2000s with Nelly, Ludacris, Franchise Boys, and Soulja Boy? Golden era?
When did Tupac die?
In 96.
Okay. When did Biggie die? 97?
In 97.
Okay, well, late 90s, early 2000s then. That's what I would say.
Coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll go inside the mind of the machine. So we talked about Brady, who is selling his Escalade. If you want a $30,000 car for $300,000, you could certainly do so with the Tom Brady auction. MLB Network is basically ensuring that you'll never watch their network. This weekend, they are going to do, get this, 64 hours. Not 6 hours. Not 4 hours, not 24 hours. They are going to do 64 hours continuously of Derek Jeter programming. My question to you is a very simple one. Would you consider Derek Jeter to be overrated, underrated, or properly rated as a baseball player?
I would say Derek Jeter's properly rated, but I also think that Derek Jeter is widely regarded as probably the most clutch baseball player at least in our generation, if not all time. Think about all those different times in the World Series where it felt like for 5 or 6 or 10 years, Derek Jeter would come up and Derek Jeter would come through. Not to mention, I don't think a lot of people realize that Derek Jeter's career batting average is .310. .310, including Derek Jeter had seasons where he hit, wait for it, .339, .349, and .343. So... he's also a great fielder and probably the best teammate that I can ever remember also in the era. So now that I talk it out, maybe actually a little bit underrated.
He's wildly overrated. Sorry.
No,
wildly
you're like,
overrated. Just insane. You know what he is? You know what Derek Jeter is? He's the Bill Russell of baseball. He's just average. And because ring culture gives him his due, we have to say he's the greatest ever. You know what he is? He's Barry Larkin. Barry Larkin's a really good baseball player. He's not considered the GOAT. And neither should Derek Jeter. And people talk about him like that. He's wildly overrated.
Isn't average a little harsh, though?
I mean, he's above average. He's
definitely not average. Now, I will say this. He gets a little bit of sauce because he plays in New York, like a lot of people. Like Michael Strahan, if his career is the exact same and he plays for the Carolina Panthers, he's in Julius Peppers. Julius Peppers is going in the Hall of Fame, but Julius Peppers is not hosting Good Morning America based off what he accomplished in the NFL. So you do get a little bit of sauce. I remember Derek Jeter more than anything is, Jeter was just cool. If we're talking of athletes from that time, he was cooler than LeBron. He was cooler than Tiger. He was cooler than Michael Phelps. He was cooler than Lance Armstrong. Every guy wanted to be Derek Jeter for like an 8-year span. Everybody. He played on the best team. He had a cool number. He wore the pinstripes. He had the Jordan brand sponsorship. He played the game with a certain pizzazz. He always had attractive women. He dominated New York. Like, Jeter was cool. I call Jeter Captain America. He was so cool. He's a little underrated. Honestly, he's a little underrated just based on how cool he was.
Not only was he cool, but he came up. So if you remember the shortstops at the time in the American League, there were three of them. It was Derek Jeter. It was Nomar. Well, there were more than three of them, but three young superstars thought to be. It was Jeter. It was Garcia Parra. And it was Miguel Tejada. And Miguel Tejada, we all kind of, he was nice for a long time.
He was a nice player.
And then we remember that he cheated and kind of faded away.
There were so many of them.
Nomar Garcia Parra, I don't know if he ever lived up to the hype that we made his name out to be. Remember, as soon as he left is when the Red Sox finally got really successful. And then you've got Derek Jeter, who Rob can call overrated, and that's fine. But look at his accomplishments. I mean, five-time World Series winner, led the league in hits three separate times, and he's a career 310 hitter and's got five Gold Glove awards. So saying that Derek Jeter wasn't great is a little bit of a stretch.
No, Nomar was great. He just wasn't Jeter.
And oh, not close to
like,
it.
Like, if he had played in a different era, we would probably appreciate Nomar Garcia Parra more. I mean, six-time All-Star, one Rookie of the Year. He's in the Red Sox Hall of Fame. Two times he was the AL batting champion, career batting average of .313. Like, Nomar Garcia Parra was a great baseball player. But if your rival is the New York Yankees and they win five championships and then you never win one, and then the other team's shortstop is Derek Jeter, you'll never get the proper respect.
He also did it in New York City. Like you mentioned, there were always good-looking women around and he was cool. How can you pull off? And it was a little bit before social media. So Jeter started, he was a rookie in 95 and he retired in 14. So in 14, we all had cell phones and cell phone cameras and social media was kind of just becoming a really, really big thing that it is today. But how did you do that with all those different women? He was single the entire time, and I can't really ever remember a scandal. That's almost impossible to have. You can pull that off in New York City.
Would you like to hear his starting nine?
I was just about to read that. So ESPN, they did Jeter's dating diamond. Pitcher Hannah Davis, you guys might remember her from those DirecTV commercials. That's the one he actually ended up marrying. Minka Kelly from Friday Night Lights. Jordana Brewster from Fast and the Furious, Tyra Banks, Adriana Lima, Scarlett Johansson, Vanessa Milano, who's married to Nick Lachey, Mariah Carey, Jessica Alba, and Jessica Biel.
That's Hall of Fame. He shouldn't even have to wait, what is it, 4 or 5 years? Put his ass in the Hall of Fame.
All time. All time.
That's ridiculous.
You can't find another human being with that resume.
I don't know how the Bishop Don Magic won the player's ball 7 years in a row. How did Derek Jeter not win?
I'm telling you, Derek Jeter was just cool. Next level cool. And this is what we know. It's probably a bunch of stuff we don't know.
Who do you think goes down as the bigger player in history, Derek Jeter or Wilt Chamberlain?
Jeter, because Jeter's is real.
And Jeter, know that Wilt's isn't
okay,
real.
Well, Jeter gave the gift baskets. That's the best story ever.
That is
every
the best
one nice
story.
I mean, Jeter had, he gave
like
a gift basket to.
It's the best bad story.
Oh, it's terrible.
Like, that story, you talk about things that would not translate today. If we found out star athlete did that, oh my God. It would not be good for a star athlete. If we found out that star athlete had random hookups, and then when they left, he gave them a gift basket of his DVD, a jersey that's autographed, and an autographed ball as a thank you? Oh, my goodness. That would lead Good Morning America, CNN, every talk show. We'd have so many think pieces about it. It'd be the all-time worst.
That tells you not only was he good with the women, he was also just a good guy. Like, he'd leave you with party favors. You would leave with a Derek Jeter autograph, a pennant, and a signed memorabilia. Like, that's cool.
It's a come-up. Honestly,
that's cool.
Low-key, it's a come-up. Coming up, we will go inside the mind of the machine on The Drive on 610 Sports Radio and the radio.com app.
The Drive, 610 Sports Radio.
Back in on The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com and the radio.com app. The text line number has changed, 913-576-7610. Coming up in just a little bit, we'll talk about the failed 4th and 15 onside kick rule. We're starting to get more information and understanding on why it did not pass. We'll talk about that coming up momentarily. But before we do all that, it's time to take a trip inside the mind of the machine.
Earlier today, Max Kellerman said that he thinks Kawhi Leonard is better than LeBron James. I agree, C.D.O.T. to you.
You know my answer to this. LeBron James is the best basketball player in the NBA, and he has been since probably 2007. So the answer for Kawhi is no. The answer for Giannis is no. The answer for James Harden is no. The answer on Luka Doncic is no. Anthony Davis. No. If Michael Jordan was in the NBA right now, you know what the answer would be?
No.
No. Don't ask me no questions like that again. You know my answer.
All right, who's the second best player in the NBA then?
Bronny James Jr., his son. He's going to be the second best player in the league. No, I think it's Kawhi Leonard. Okay. I think it goes LeBron, Kawhi, Giannis. That's probably how I do it.
So you made me feel like an idiot for a whole 60 seconds. Then you said he's the second best player in the league. All right. Speaking of NBAers, H-O-F or N-O-T, does the following guy end up in the Hall of Fame or not? Klay Thompson.
Yes. It's easier to get in the NBA. So a lot of these guys that you're going to say, the answer is probably yes. Klay Thompson for certain goes in the NBA Hall of Fame. I mean, if Reggie Miller is in, why wouldn't Klay Thompson be in?
I got a tough one for you. How about Derrick Rose?
No, I don't think he gets in. I don't think he's played enough. I think he'll go in that Penny Hardaway category of we'll remember him. He'll be in the Rockstar Hall of Fame. He'll always be in the what if, and we really enjoyed watching him play. But I don't think he gets in.
Speaking of rock stars, this guy's got half the names of the Beatles. Paul George.
Based on what we've seen so far, no. Let's see if he wins a championship, which I think is very, very possible with Kawhi Leonard and the Clippers. So right now, I would say inconclusive on Paul George, but I would say he has a strong chance.
Which is the better golf movie, Caddyshack or Happy Gilmore?
I think this is one of those generational questions. I'd probably say Happy Gilmore because I appreciate it more, but I think most people would say Caddyshack's the better movie out of the two.
Yeah, it kind of depends on the mood that I'm in. I'd say most of the time, 6 out of 10 times, I think I'd probably rather watch Caddyshack. But if I have to watch Happy Gilmore on TNT, I'll stop every time. Tin Cup or Bagger Vance?
I've never seen either one of those movies.
Never seen Bagger Vance?
My Bagger Vance story was, this was probably when I was 16, maybe 17. I just started driving for myself. My grandmother asked me to come over because something was wrong with her television. So I go over there and she's like, I don't understand what they're saying. She was watching HBO in Spanish.
Ooh, yeah.
All she had to do was turn the channel. She was watching Legend of Bagger Vance.
Available
in
SAP. That's
all I know about that movie. I've never seen a second of it. No part of me was interested in seeing Will Smith be a golf caddy. I was not going to watch it. I have not seen it. It might be a great movie. I've never seen it.
No, it's not a great movie. Tin Cup's a great movie, though. You never seen Tin Cup?
One of my really good friends says that Kevin Costner has never been in a bad movie.
I'm trying to think.
It's like one of their takes they will fall on.
Been a lot of different sports movies. I haven't really seen a bad one.
I love The Untouchables.
Rob, celebrity birthday time. Dr. Oz.
Oh, Dr. Oz. Dr. Oz is probably like 67 today.
Oh, $1.
$1 is correct. He's actually 1 year old. No, he's 60. Turned 60 years
old. I knew
old.
Rob was too high.
He's a hooper.
I didn't know how old he was, but I knew Rob was too high.
You ever seen him hoop?
No, I've never seen Dr.
Dead
Oz
serious.
Play basketball.
He's got a nasty crossover and he can knock down his threes. I'm
You're
serious.
Watching the YouTube highlights?
He was in the what's the updated like Rock and Jock? I know they haven't called that in 20 years.
The celebrity game?
Yeah. This is before the All-Star game.
He hoops in that?
Yeah.
You know who always hoops in that? Arnie Duncan.
He's a real hooper.
Yeah, Arnie Duncan probably could have played in the league.
He played college ball though.
He could hoop.
He played college ball at he's like real smart, Yale at Princeton or something like that.
Yeah, I knew he was one of those. But I've
no,
seen
you know
him,
who can really
I've seen,
hoop.
I've seen Arnie Duncan play like 4 or 5 times. And I've always been impressed.
The best
with his
hooper
game.
Out of all of them is Quavo.
I think Arnie might be more skilled than he is. I think Arnie might be more skilled. I'm not saying Quavo
Arnie's
can't
like
play.
Arnie's like 6'6", though. Quavo's got moves.
Arnie's got touch. And it's like unassuming. Like Quavo, he was like a – like he could have played D1 football. He got like offers and stuff, but he obviously chose to go rap. But no, Arnie has like touch and like that Will Purdue old man
He's got a hook
game,
shot.
But can like step out and shoot threes. Yeah, no, I like watching Arnie Duncan hoop.
It's Maya Moore's birthday this week.
34.
Ooh, that's really good. By the way, real quick, Kevin Costner's in one of the worst movies ever, Waterworld.
Oh,
that's
and like what one about, of the he was in the Browns movie.
Yeah,
Draft Day. Those are both
awful.
Draft Day's not a bad movie if you're trying to take a nap.
Awful.
It's not a bad movie. It serves a purpose.
If you're trying to take a nap, so background noise, yeah, it's great. But if you actually want to stare at the television and, you know, enjoy the, you know, the plot and the actors
Draft,
and the actresses.
Draft Day is a great 1 o'clock Sunday on FX movie. It's
I feel
great.
Bad because that's one of the first things me and my girl watched together, and she was sure I was going to love the movie.
Oof.
Like, she picked it out specifically because it was a quote-unquote sports movie, and all I ever heard is how bad it sucked. And I had, like, you see, you know, I made about halfway through, and... Yeah, that movie was Waterworld was bad too, though.
That, it was
I
like,
walked out
it's
of the
like one of the worst
Waterworld.
Movies ever made. Like, it's awful.
I don't even know what's going on in Waterworld.
Maya Moore, I'll say 33.
She's 31. I forgot I asked you. Joshua Jackson, C-Dot.
Who's that?
That is, what was he in? I think that's the kid from.
Played basketball at Kansas?
No, not that Josh Jackson. I don't know what happened to him. I don't know what happened to that guy.
He might be crazy.
Joshua Jackson was in, I think it's the kid from Mighty Ducks. Charlie, the Triple D kid.
You looked it up. How are you going to ask us who he is?
All right, what the hell? We move on. He's 42.
I don't know who the man is.
He's 42 years old. I know you're a big fan of sour candy, so.
You know I love my Sour Patch Kids.
All right, Sour Patch Kids over Warheads?
Yeah, I don't really like Warheads. That's too sour for me. Like, Sour Patch Kids are like a 6, 6.5. Warheads are an 11 on the sour. I don't need all that.
Warheads have to be the sourest of the sour, right? Like, I've spit out Warheads. What do they call them? Atomic Warheads? Rob, yeah. What do you know about the Atomic Warhead?
No, that was like my childhood. You go up to Osco, you get a few, see how you and your friends can handle it. I struggled.
No, that'll change your day.
Warhead, that's bank candy. Like, Dum Dums, bank candy, or Dr. Candy. That's what Warhead. No one goes to the store and orders and gets Warheads.
Lifesavers?
Same thing.
I used to get bank Warheads candy at Mr. Bulky. What do you guys know about Mr. Bulky inside of Oak Park Mall? I get Everlasting Gobstoppers. Am I talking to myself? Hello? Is this thing on, Mr. Bulky, Oak Park Mall?
You were still talking. I was letting you finish. Oh, okay. I was supposed to just, all yes, right. I've heard of it.
All right. Just making sure. Warheads are delicious until you have to spit them out, though. What about Sweet Tarts versus Smarties?
Both trash.
Nobody's ever had Smarties over the age of 8 years old. I don't know where you get them.
Smarties are bank candy, too.
Yeah, absolutely bank candy. I mean, I would say Sweet Tarts out of those two. I actually like the chewy Sweet Tarts, the little like little small balls.
Those hurt my teeth.
I actually like those. Those aren't bad, but regular Sweet Tarts, trash.
What do y'all know about Sour Patch Straws?
I like those. Very delicious.
That's where it's at.
That's a little bit more sour than the regular Sour Patch Kids. I would give that on a sour scale to be the 8.
Yeah, I'd go like 7.5, 8. I'm with you there. What's the youngest ball kid's name? I know that LeVar has 3 balls. What's the youngest one?
LaMelo.
LaMelo ball.
So it's Lonzo, LiAngelo, and LaMelo.
Thank you. Is the youngest ball better than the oldest ball?
No, I don't think so. I think Lonzo is a great player. He just can't stay healthy. And he just wasn't in a good situation to improve. Like, his dad was going to be so visible in Los Angeles. That's where he was from. That roster didn't really give him the support. You knew once LeBron came that they were going to be trying to move on from him to get a player like Anthony Davis. I just don't think he was in a good situation. If Zion can stay healthy, that could be a really good 1-2 punch here over the next couple of seasons. So I'm still high on Lonzo. I think he's a better player than LaMelo.
LeVar and his 3 balls. Speaking of basketball, before we get out of here, if there's a 3-on-3 tournament between us and the other two shows, I'm pretty sure we would win, but who would give us the closest competition? Fesco in the morning or Cody in gold?
I don't think either team scores.
I'm with you. I think we shut them out. Game to 11, ones and twos, make it, take it. Even if they get the ball first, I mean, we
like
got
maybe the midday show because gold might score on Rob, but no none way of the other people are scoring on me.
I don't think so.
Gold's not scoring on me.
I think Rob's swatting him the same way that Dikembe Mutombo Mupulumbo Jean-Jacques Wamutombo used to when he's waving his finger in the air. There's no chance. You're right. It's a shutout. 11-0 both games.
Yeah, 11-0 both games. I don't think they
we
score.
We take our ball and go home.
I don't think they score.
Not a chance. Outside the mind of the machine.
Coming up next, keep it locked in right here on The Drive on 610 Sports Radio. The 4th-and-15 onside rule was not passed. We'll find out why coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive, weekdays 2-6.
Back in on The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the radio.com app. Do us a favor. Delete the old text line number. It is no more. The new number is the same as the phone line, 913-576-7610. 913-576-7610. If you want to test it out, go ahead. I will reply to your text the best way that I can. So we've been tracking this. There was a proposed rule for teams. Instead of doing an onside kick, they could go for a 4th-and-15 play from the 25-yard line. That got shot down today. Why? Well, we'll get the latest from Ian Rappaport.
Yeah, and while there was no official vote here, it sounds like there was at least some sort of preliminary counting and a pretty serious idea that this one was not going to pass if they had done an official vote. So this was officially tabled perhaps to next year. And it does sound, guys, like this one, the 4th-and-15 play going from the 25, you'd have to get to the 40 to supplement onside kicks, which have been a little bit phased out. I think we can safely say thanks to the safety concerns, this would have added a little bit of fun to late game situations, allowing a team to keep the ball a little more high percentage than maybe onside kick would have been. It would have been fun. It would have been a little crazy, especially for a team, for a league that often moves incrementally. So last year there was really very, very little support. Sounds like this year there was a little more. Maybe next year after it was tabled, Tom, there'll be even more support. But at least the league took the hardest look that they've taken at this so far.
So that is Ian Rappaport with the latest on the proposed 4th and 15 rule change. I want to read you this from Pro Football Talk. Per source, the two biggest areas of discussion regarding this rule came from, one, the ability of the kicking team to advance the ball well beyond the 15-yard line to gain and possibly score a touchdown. And number two, the ease of getting a first down via PI or defensive holding. I think the second issue is much more of an issue than the first one. It's way too easy now, and I think it's part of teams' offensive strategy on fourth and long or third and long to say, hey, let's just try to get a pass interference. Hey, run into a guy, throw your hands up and flail, and there's a 50-50 chance that you can get a flag and you can get an automatic first down. I've thought for the longest that defensive holding is broken and that pass interference is broken. But I hope that this is a rule that the NFL continues to stick with, and as they continue to minimize and dilute the kicking game and find a way to really make the game more fun and exciting and entertaining, I hope this is the rule that over these next couple of years they can kind of finesse and fine-tune and eventually get this implemented. I think it'd be great for the game.
I actually don't think that teams take enough advantage of a very loose and flimsy pass interference rule. I'm not talking about the one last year with replay. I'm talking about the one that we've gotten used to the last 10 or 20 years. How many times, CDOT, is it third and long? And I'm talking about third and 23, third and 28, whatever it is. And you just see a team run a screen pass because it's very conservative and very low risk. Or you just turn around and hand it off, or a quarterback just does a dive up the middle and then they punt it. I would actually see, it would seem to me that it would make sense that we would see more of that. Now, the problem is, it's way too big of a reward on the kickoff. So let's say a team just scores a touchdown, so they're making a comeback. So a team's down by 13 points, all right, a few minutes left in the game. And then all of a sudden they score a touchdown. Now it's a six-point game, one possession. And then they decide instead of an onside kick, which is a 4.5% chance of happening in the NFL last year and recovering it, we're going to try the 4th and 15, and they air it out because nobody's open. Then all of a sudden there's a penalty. Well, now they got the football, and they're coming down the field to win the game. I think that's a little bit too easy, a little bit too much of a reward, considering how low the onside kick was actually successful. So it's a good idea. They just need to figure out the framework, and I wouldn't be surprised in the next couple of years if they kind of figure out the logistics, make the rule work. I don't know how you figure out that pass interference rule. That's going to be something they're really going to have to get creative. But I do like the idea because, in theory, a lot of times the last 5-10 minutes of an NFL game, based on the score, we know how it's going to play out. This will take that away a little bit. So I do think that it's a good idea.
They did change some other rules, so teams are not going to be able to manipulate the clock the way we saw in the playoffs last year between the Titans and the Patriots. If you remember, Mike Vrabel found a loophole in the rule and was basically able to just bleed away 2 minutes and 30 seconds at the end of a playoff game, and the Patriots seemingly could do nothing about it. They've fixed that. They've added where you can bring back another player off the IR. That makes a lot of sense. You're adding playoff teams. You're adding another game. We're going to the point that you're going to be able to bring back every player that you put back on IR, in my opinion, especially if they're going to lengthen the course of the season. Coming up in about 5 minutes, we'll go around the NFL. But before we do so, let's talk about major sports and their plans of returning. Here's Jeff Passan with the comments from Max Scherzer.
When you have a voice like Max Scherzer's, a guy who has multiple Cy Young Awards, a guy who's probably going to be in the Hall of Fame, a guy who is widely recognized as being really intelligent, that puts some weight and some heft behind them. And this is where the Players Association in the past has been. You have guys like Tom Glavine. You have guys, you know, dating back in the 60s and 70s and 80s who were among the foremost players in the sport. And when you have someone like that with words that strong, I think it really illustrates how angry the players were at Major League Baseball's proposal on Tuesday.
So that's Jeff Passan of ESPN. He has been all over it when it comes to baseball and what their plan is going to look like once they eventually start playing games. Which of these plans do you like the most, Sean, between these major sports leagues?
I guess if I have to choose one of them, I would say, even though the NBA hasn't exactly told us what they're going to do, I feel like theirs is probably has the best chance of working, Because you're talking about a baseball roster. What do they have, 40 guys on each roster plus a bunch of position coaches and stuff? You're talking about they're carrying 50, 60 people with them every single time they travel at minimum. An NBA team, a little bit less. What are they, 14-man rosters, a 5- or 6-man coaching staff? So you're talking about half the people involved, and we know that this is a numbers game. So if the NBA ends up doing the Disney thing and they kind of centralize their location – and let's just face it, they're at the end of their season, where baseball is essentially at the very beginning. They haven't even gotten off the season yet. So they got a long time to get this thing right or to get it wrong. For the NBA, if they go straight to the playoffs and they condense it down a little bit, maybe we're talking about a month and a half or so in Disney World for pulling it off. So I would say the NBA's plan seems feasible to me. The Major League plan seems a little bit ridiculous only because we're talking about so many people. And I keep bringing up the glass half empty thing instead of the glass half full. Glass half full is they have the testing. Everybody gets tested. We have a season. Nobody gets sick. And we have a World Series champion. At least we've got entertainment. Glass half empty is a player gets sick, gives it to a coach or a manager who's 65, 70 years old. He stays in the hospital for a couple of weeks, then passes away. Then we can't just keep saying, well, it's the next man up. That's how it goes. So, again, I don't think baseball's plan is great. I don't think the NBA's plan is great. Hockey, I just don't get at all. Like, we're going to have a 24-team playoff, so we're going to let 24 of the 31 teams in. I don't love any of the ideas. If you made me say, I don't think any of them are great. I actually think the UFC probably had the best plan of all, and that's why they came back the soonest. It was also easiest because we're talking about the fewest amount of people. But if you made me pick, see that, I guess I would say that the NBA's plan seems like at least it has a chance of working.
I mean, I think the NBA's plan and the NHL plan is very similar when it comes to a centralized location. I do think the NBA is going to do some variation of what the NHL is doing. I do think there's going to be a play-in tournament where the 7 and 8 seeds in both leagues, respectively, there's going to be a 4 or 6 team tournament to try to get as many teams, try to create more games, and to try to create as much interest in the sport as possible. I do believe that's be the case. I just like the NBA and NHL plan more because you eliminate the travel risk of it. What baseball is trying to do to have these baseball players travel around the country and go to certain hotspots and go to different places, that to me sounds like a very risky proposition.
There's no real alternative, though. I mean, the only alternative that I've heard is that they could play in Arizona, essentially, and play in the Cactus League stadiums, or they could play. But in Arizona, it's 115, 120 degrees during the summertime, and there's a reason why their big league ballpark has a roof, because they use it for almost every game because they need the air conditioning. So it's not really feasible to do that unless you do it in multiple locations.
I mean, there's no real great plan for any business right now trying to restart. Like, if you've been to a restaurant here, man, it's not like how it used to be, so I don't know necessarily if there's going to be a great plan. I just think the centralized location where you know where everybody is and seemingly at all times, you can test them. Like, Major League Baseball plan for testing when they're on the road makes a lot of sense to me. So what I was reading from Jeff Passan is they will test the player every night before they go to bed. They will have the ability to find out if the result is positive by the time that player wakes up in the morning. And if they get a positive test, they won't be allowed to leave the room. Like, they're putting certain things in place to protect these players. I just think the travel part of it, and you're going to try to get 40 or 50 people traveling around the world 10 to 15 times here over the next 3 weeks or 3 months. I don't know if that plan is going to work as well as the NBA or NHL plan. But if they've got the testing in place, if they've got the contract contact tracing in way to test who comes in contact with the virus and who has it, we'll see if the plan can work or not.
A broken leg is not contagious, right? Like, if I have a broken leg, you're not going to have a broken leg being in the same room with me, right?
No.
But COVID-19, at least the way that we understand it, if I'm in the same room with you, there's a chance at least that you get it, right?
Correct.
So what happens if a bunch of Major League Baseball players are together, and let's say it's the bullpen and a bunch of starting pitchers, and the guy that you're talking about that gets tested at night, in the morning he wakes up and he finds out that he's positive, and so is the other pitcher, and so is pitcher 2, 3, 4, and 5, and so is the entire – then what? Do we cancel the game that night? Do we bring up a bunch of guys from the minor league system? I feel like baseball's got this – utopian idea where nobody's going to get sick and it's going to work out perfect. And if somebody does get sick because they're bound to, well, then we'll just quarantine them. The way that I understand COVID, that's not how it works. So what happens when it's a position of players, a group of players, it's pitchers, then what? We're going to have Adalberto Mondesi pitch, and then we're going to have Salvi come in out of the bullpen in relief. Like, that's going to be a real issue unless baseball just says, at some point, the S hits the fan and a coach gets really sick or an entire pitching staff gets sick. then what are they going to do? And I'm not asking for an answer because I know you don't have one, but baseball's going to have to come up with one because that's going to happen.
Coming up in about 20 minutes, we have a toss-up question regarding the Royals and the Chiefs. We'll get to that coming up in 20 minutes. Before we do all that, Rob, let's take a trip around the NFL. You know what? It's going to be a special edition. You remember how last year I had my two teams, the Jets and the Browns?
Mm-hmm.
This year, I've got the Dolphins and the Broncos. Well, I have not given up on the Browns fully. Both of my around the NFLs have something to deal with the Cleveland Browns. First up, the player that I think has more pressure on him than any other player in the NFL. It is Baker Mayfield. Listen to what he said. Quote, "Right now, I'm moving in silence, which is fine with me." Baker, who has turned down multiple interview requests this offseason, according to a source that's bigger than him. "That's how I used to do it before I got on this big stage. I want to get back to the fundamentals to where I can accomplish the goals that I have when the season comes around." You're telling me we're getting a humble Baker? You're telling me that we're getting a quiet Baker? You're telling me that we're getting I'm getting back to work, I'm here to play football Baker Mayfield? Something we've never seen in the NFL? Watch out. I'm buying more stock in Baker Mayfield. I didn't sell all of my stock, but I sold some of it off. If this is the mindset that Baker's going to have, that I'm putting that foolishness aside, I'm getting off social media, and I'm here to work, and I'm here to grind, let me go ahead and buy back in on Baker Mayfield while it's cheap.
Yeah, that's about as wise as buying stock in Enron, because you're going to end up broke. I would not buy any Baker Mayfield stock for a guy that had 23 touchdowns, 21 picks last year, that you and a lot of people got way too excited for part of a rookie season. And what's he talking about? He's going to go back to his roots before he, like, I only remember Baker Mayfield either wearing the bandana and looking pretty cool to Oklahoma, running from the cops, and the cops caught up with him and tackled him, planting the flag at the horseshoe. What's he talking about? Like, I feel like part of Baker Mayfield is the smack talking, is the looking cool while you're doing it. So if he thinks that being quiet, being humble is going to make him a better quarterback, good luck, buddy, but I doubt it.
So that's the Baker Mayfield update when it comes to the Cleveland Browns. Let's get you one of your favorite players in the league, Jadeveon Clowney, who reports say the team that offered him the most money was not the Seattle Seahawks, was not the Tennessee Titans. It was the Cleveland Browns.
I do think he ends up at the Browns because it sounds like that they're far and away the best offer. And I think the X factor with that right now is he wants to be back in Seattle. He wants Seattle to pay the price that Cleveland's offering. But they're just not going to. They're smarter than that. And it's really what we just talked about. They don't want to have two, three defensive players with top-of-the-market money. And they know that's detrimental to their offense. So I think that's exactly the situation they're in. They want to bring back Clowney on a one-year team-friendly deal, and he wants to be back there, but Cleveland's got a bigger offer, and he's going to end up there, I think.
So that's Paul Giannotti of SpotTrack. Clowney turning down the most money from the Browns. Does that speak more about Cleveland and where they are, or does that say more about Jadeveon Clowney and maybe his unreasonable asking price?
It says a lot about both, but it says more about the Browns. Why would you want to offer Jadeveon Clowney that type of money? I mean, if you're talking about $17, $18, $20 million a year for a guy that's never lived up to his number one overall billing, for a guy that's never had a 10-sack season, and it's not like he was getting double-teamed the entire time back in the day when he was on Houston because they had this guy you've heard of named J.J. Watt. So he's one of the more overrated players in football and wants to be overpaid. You can't have it both ways, man. If I'm Clowney and I get an offer like that from Cleveland or any NFL team, I take it right away. I mean, there's a reason why this guy's still out there on the open market. So this is more about the Browns, I would say, making a bad offer. But also, at some point, Clowney just has to say, okay, I'll take the money and I'll play.
I'm going to actually say that this says a little bit more about Clowney than it says about the Browns. I don't fault the Browns in this scenario. Let's sign you to a one-year deal, maybe a two-year deal that's basically a one-year deal. We'll get you hungry. We'll get you willing to prove something and come in here, and you can team up with a guy like Myles Garrett, and we can try to get back to the playoffs for the first time since, what, the early 2000s. I don't really fault the Browns for going out there and do it. I think it's clear what's happening. Clowney really wants to go to a good team. The only good team that really wants him is Seattle, so he's trying to make Seattle play hard to get, but I think we've seen over the last two off seasons that Seattle isn't interested in overpaying for defensive players. They weren't interested in having Frank Clark. They traded him. They're not interested in overpaying for Jadeveon Clowney. So if he wants to play on the Seattle Seahawks and give himself a chance to win a Super Bowl, your asking price needs to come down. We'll see if they do it. I do think eventually he signs with the Cleveland Browns because most people end up taking the most money. And I don't think that offer from the Seattle Seahawks is ever coming.
Ironically, actually, just to correct you, Cleveland hasn't been to the playoffs since the Grover Cleveland administration, which is kind of ironic. The first time that he was president.
Last one here. This is Paul Giannotti on Cam Newton.
I cannot find a home for this guy. I really can't because I know he wants probably to make $15 million. That's probably where he wants to live right now, which is, you know, something that gets him enough money to be satisfied but also gives him a chance to earn himself a starting job somewhere. I can't find a home. I know New England is the sexy pick, but there's no way New England's paying 15. It's just not happening because they've got Brian Hoyer cost controlled right now. I think he's down in the Andy Dalton world where it's $3-4 million and it's incentive based on games played and snaps and playoff wins. And maybe he can get himself up to 10 or 12, you know, doing that. But I don't think he comes in at more than 10 on a base deal right now.
So that's the latest on Cam Newton. It's hard out here for Cam, bro, when you're trying to get some money for the rent. That money ain't really flowing for Cam Newton right now, man.
There's a team that wants him, and there's a team that he should play for, and it's really – how do you not see this? It's team Luke Kuechly. It's team Andrew Luck. It's team I'm done with this. You know what? I won a Heisman Trophy. I won a national championship. I went to a Super Bowl. I was the MVP of the league. I got $50 million in my bank account. I've been sacked more than anybody not named David Carr. And the NFL tells me that I'm only going to make a few million dollars and be a backup quarterback. If I'm Cam Newton, unless I really, really love the game or I need a little bit of money in the bank account for whatever reason, then yeah, I'm joining Team Andrew Luck this offseason. I say thank you. I'm done.
That concludes our Around the NFL for today. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we will have a toss-up question regarding the Chiefs and the Royals. We'll also play Google Feud coming up in the 4 o'clock hour as well. You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the radio.com app. So today is, I believe, the 43rd anniversary of Worlds of Fun. There's no person that I know that loves Worlds of Fun more than the sports machine, Sean Levine.
That's true, Rob. Fire me up some beats because I do love Worlds of Fun. And thinking about it, there's a lot of stuff that I don't think a lot of people realize. So let me give you some fun facts that I did after doing a little bit of research, this being the 47-year anniversary of Worlds of Fun. You guys know my favorite ride in the history of the park, right?
The Zambezi Zinger.
Yeah, the Zambezi Zinger. Did you know that the first person to ever ride the Zambezi Zinger was Lamar Hunt? Lamar Hunt, not only did he originally fund Worlds of Fun, but he also was the first one to take a ride in the Zambezi Zinger, which is crazy because the Zambezi Zinger, well, it didn't have seatbelts. Also, CDOT, did you know that one of the railway cars, so have you ever rode the train around Worlds of Fun?
When I was a kid, I haven't ridden in a long time.
Well, it's one of those things that, you know, is still fun as an adult. And now that you've got a kid, I think Gianna might enjoy it too. Maybe she's a little bit young for it.
Yeah, I definitely think that's the case.
2.5 months, yeah, probably. Maybe next year. One of the railway cars is actually made from, it was in the movie True Grit, starring, I'll buy either one of you guys lunch if you know who True Grit starred. Don't cheat. Don't Google it.
The remake or the original?
The original.
Oh, I don't know who's in the original. The John remake, Wayne? I could have told you.
Damn, I owe you lunch.
I'm never getting that lunch in my
Never.
Life.
No.
Zero.
Damn, well, I didn't see that
chance.
Coming at all.
Yeah. 0%.
One of the railway
chance.
Cars from Worlds of Fun was in the movie True Grit with John Wayne. How about that, Rob?
You'll be hungry forever.
The original plan.
Let me ask you a question. What do you think happens first? This coronavirus vaccine or the lunch you're owed?
Oh, I'm not paying the lunch.
So with the vaccine, 18 months. So
the vaccine.
Yeah.
The vaccine.
The original plan for Worlds of Fun, after doing some research, was 500 acres of land with hotels all over the place, retail stores, and it was supposed to rival Disney World. That didn't end up happening, but eventually they opened up Oceans of Fun, and this is your fourth and final fun fact on this, the 47-year anniversary, yes?
I was going to say, did you hear the story that one of the disagreements that the NBA teams have is they are thinking about allocating the hotels based on how good your team is? So the Lakers, they would be in the best hotel that's on the Disneyland property. A team like the Blazers, they might be at the Motel 6.
Is that real?
100%. I can show you the story. I read it this morning in The Athletic. That's one argument if they don't want a competitive advantage, because some teams are going to be staying in five-star living, and some people are going to be staying at the Econo Lodge.
Well, so my sister actually took her family to Disney World a couple of years ago, and she decided she'd do the whole experience. So she's doing what you're talking about, where she gets the Fast Pass and she does the Epcot and all the different, the Animal Kingdom and all the different things that are out there. I haven't been in a long time. But there was such discrepancy in the different places that you could stay on the Disney property. So the low end for a family like hers, so a family of four, the low end that I saw was $250 a night. And that's staying in like Goofy's Cabin, which is basically an RV, like on the very, like the crappy grounds, you know, where the water, like the flood area, upwards of $1,550 a night if you basically wanted to stay at the Princess Castle. So I don't know about you, man. I'm kind of somewhere in between. I want to stay like, you know, wherever Rafiki was staying. That's where I want to stay.
Well, it sounds to me like the Memphis Grizzlies are going to be staying at Goofy's trailer. So it sounds like to me.
Guaranteed. And Oceans of Fun, at the time that it was open.
It was like the first water park, wasn't it?
It was not the first water park, but you're close. It was the largest water park in the world at the time. And that's pretty much all the facts that I have about Worlds of Fun. Again, rest in peace to the Zambezi singer. I know that I'm never going to get you your Chipotle burritos that I lose the bets to, and I didn't know that Rob was going to know that Drew Gritt starred John Wayne, so I'm not paying up that bet
either.
Can I
just ask a question really quick? I just have one question.
Why haven't you got me that Zambezi singer shirt you promised me like a year and a half ago?
I just have one question. Why do you offer the bets if you have no interest in paying the bet?
I don't plan on ever losing the bet.
It's not like in that scenario, Rob said, hey, I'll bet you a Chipotle burrito. I know it. And you said, sure. You said, I'll buy you a lunch if you know this. Rob knew it. And they're like, well, I wasn't going to pay it. So why do you offer it?
Because the last time this happened, you literally uttered the words, I don't know the first thing about the UFC. So I was like, okay, well, I'll tell you what. If you can tell me who kicked Ronda Rousey in the head, I'll buy you lunch.
Yeah, Holly Holm.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. You guys can't set me up like that. You can't.
Just Rob, for the record, I did not set you
Rob
up.
Rob's probably got every John Wayne movie at home on VHS.
He wasn't Shane. Great film.
That's what I'm saying. So
the Duke.
Don't play me like that. Like, let's keep it on even playing ground. If I lose the bet legitimately, fine. But if you walk me into Holly Holm and talk about you don't know the first thing about UFC, and then you bust out a Holly Holm or a True Grit a John Wayne, I'm not paying you. I'm sorry.
I've never said that I don't know anything about UFC.
Where's my t-shirt, dog?
I'm just not a fan of the UFC. I mean, I do work in sports, so when I go on ESPN.com and these websites, sometimes they have UFC people on there, and I click, and I watch
Holly
Holm's
the events
nickname?
Before. I'll buy you a burrito if you
know her
nickname.
I don't know her nickname.
She's the preacher's daughter.
I don't know it like
that.
How did
I lead you to the John Wayne thing?
Yeah, but I mean, I read these stories. I know UFC like I know NASCAR. I don't watch it, but I could name some NASCAR drivers. I can't really tell you a whole lot about it. I probably watch maybe three or four UFC events a year. Like, if you were telling me it's a big, so tomorrow if you were like, hey, these are the two best fighters in UFC, I would watch it. You get really excited about any of it. It could be dude from down the street fighting guy from around the corner. Dana told you it's going to be a good fight and you'll be excited about it. Nah, I only care about the premium. Tell me that Conor McGregor is going to fight Rampage Jackson, I'm in. If you're going to tell me that Tito Ortiz is fighting Anderson Silva, I'm in.
Well, a lot of these guys are retired in completely different weight classes, and those are bold-faced lies because I know damn well you can't name three NASCAR drivers right now, and I'll buy you another burrito. And you can't say Dale Earnhardt Jr. or Ricky Bobby.
Joey Logano.
One.
Martin Truex. Is he still driving?
Yeah, that's two. Yeah.
Yeah, Martin Truex is still driving.
What about the guy you refused at on press row at the Super Bowl?
Ryan Harvick? He's a driver.
Is he still in the game, too?
I'm pretty sure he is. I can double check.
It's Kevin Harvick.
Yeah, him.
Well, it's Kevin. It's Kevin. You can't just say Ryan Harvick.
It is Kevin Harvick.
It's Kevin.
Jamie McMurray. He's from Columbia.
Okay.
Yeah, I could
What's our boy's name from Emporia?
Clint Boyer.
Clint Boyer.
Yeah, I've actually met Clint Boyer before.
I'll tell you what. I'll buy both of you guys lunch and just stop complaining, all right?
We'll go no, that. You're not. We'll go, why we'll, are you saying
no,
this?
No,
you're
no.
lying.
We'll go to that Chinese restaurant across the street.
I see why you like Michael Jordan so much. You guys are the same.
We'll go to that Chinese restaurant.
Except one thing we did learn about Mike. Mike might have been lying. Mike always paid his debts. Not one single time have we heard, yo, Mike owes me money. I'll give Mike that. He might have a gambling problem or a competition problem that he says it. But Mike could have very easily told Slim Bowler to F off, and I'm not giving you a penny. Paid his debt. He very easily could have told that dude that wrote the book, hey, you wrote this book about me? I'm not paying you. Mike at least paid his debts. Be like Mike in this regard. Don't like Mike outside of that.
I'm going to do the same thing. So in the past when I've lost a lunch to you, and you've paid up to be fair, you take me across the street to the Chinese place knowing damn well that I can get a number 18, a number 22, and a number 148. It's only going to cost you $10. So I'll tell you what. Is that place open yet? Do we know?
Just, you know what?
Is it open yet? I'll take you there tomorrow.
Venmo me $5. We don't got to go anywhere. Just Venmo me $5. Cash at me, Apple, however you want to give me American currency, I'm happy to accept.
No, you can get the lo mein and you can get crab rangoon. Get whatever you want. I'm taking the Chinese restaurant.
You know what? I'll just go ahead and bring my lunch tomorrow because I already know I'm not getting any food.
I'm taking you to the Chinese restaurant tomorrow, sir.
Looking forward to it.
Me too.
From the cheap machine, Sean Levine.
Well, you showed me the place.
Coming up next in the 4 o'clock hour, we'll play Google Feud. We also have a toss-up question involving the Royals and the Chiefs. We'll do that next. Coming up, so drive.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.